You are listening to Punk News Podcast number
356,
in which we make a very special announcement. And welcome back to Punk News Podcast 358, which had managing editor Adam White making a suggestive, we'll get into that in a minute. But we have got a jam-packed episode tonight, and I know we always say that we have a jam-packed episode, but we really have a jam-packed episode tonight. We are going to talk about something really cool, really neat, really awesome, really special, and really fun, and we're going to get into that in a minute. But I am also here with reviews writer Tom Trauma, and I'm also here with managing editor Adam White, and this is the Trauma Unit. So Tom Trauma, the key elements of the Trauma Unit, what's happening, man? What's going on?
I wish something was going on that where I could make a sound as satisfied as what Adam just did a minute ago. I was like, but I can't. But I'm glad to be here.
Well, that's good. And Adam White, as Tom Trauma suggests, are you satisfied, if you will?
I'm sitting here, John. I have an icy cold can of Labatt 50 that I'm drinking out of a Punk News koozie that is seen better days. I'm pretty good.
What is Labatt? What is Labatt 50, Adam? You must let us know. It's probably exclusively sold in Canada.
Oh, I thought it was like Coors Light.
Oh,
I don't know. No, 50 is one of those like old man ales that like the big macro breweries make. So I don't know, like it's a
like old style or PBR or something.
Yeah. It's definitely in like the PBR family. Like it's kind of akin to like, I don't know if like you guys are like Molson Export, like it's in that realm.
Canadian beer, Adam. Stop comparing your Canadian beer.
I don't know. Well, it's called beers. Export. Maybe they export it to the States. It was like Labatt's most popular beer in like the 60s and 70s. Like before, it's an ale. So like before they started doing pilsners,
like Black Label or High Life or something like that.
Yeah, it's probably in the PBR family of it. I'm sure it's not good or anything like that. But I'm in this weird state of mind right now where I'm like I've almost had like enough hoppy craft beers that are very expensive, and there's something about me that likes the idea that I can go into a store and buy this, you know, buy these cans of, you know, 50 plus year old recipe, completely boring beers that my grandfather would have bought and drink those. So that's what I'm on right now.
Riveting, Adam.
Riveting stuff.
Right, though. I drink usually either like pretentious microbrews or just the cheapest crap. Yes. Sunday night I drank old style and PBR, you know?
So. Well, but see, I can't do in between. Like I'll go to my in-laws, and my in-laws got like a fridge full, like I don't know, like a Bud Light or something. I'm like, ugh, like I can't do that. Like I don't want some mass market light beer that's basically made of corn and rice. So I'll drink mass market beer, but can it be made of like beer stuff?
That's like the old school. I get that, but by the same token, if I come to your house,
beer grains.
If I come to your house and your fridge is well stocked, I don't care how crappy it is. I'll drink it. It makes you feel any better. So you just feel.
I mean,
you
I just fill that fridge. Just,
yeah, exactly. If the price is right, I'll drink it.
All right, wow. Good podcast, everyone.
All right, John, you're doing, Dad.
Well, I had a cool thing to announce, but I don't even feel like it anymore. All right, listen, so this is Punk News. We're going to get right into it. As always, you can reach us at podcast@punknews.org. So let's reach into our mailbag, and then we'll do our big announcement after reaching into our mailbag. This is from Shukio. Shukio, who is from Japan, says, Punk News, I love what you do, and I love the personal stories you bring to the podcast. I always listen. From Shukio.
Are you the guy that I sold that CD to? Because if so, enjoy your pew 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 sticker. I assume there's one Japanese person that interacts with me on the internet. It's always the same person.
I like how you're acting as a free advertiser for pew pew pew.
I'm not. It's just a coincidence. I have they gave me a million stickers, so I've just been giving them away to Discogs people. And yeah, they happened to sign to Sidewind Dummy today. So anyways.
And this is from Necromangler36. Whoa. Necromangler36 says, I just got my mixtape and it is awesome. I appreciate all the work you and everyone else put into the tape. My girlfriend even likes it, from Necromangler36. And I got to say, Necromangler, thank you for that message. It really did brighten my day. If I brighten one young person's life through these mixtapes, then it's all been worthwhile.
I would imagine that an email from someone named Necromangler would be like, Dear John, I got your tape. I put it in my duffel bag full of spines that I've been collecting.
I was thinking like, the opposite, Adam. I was thinking, boy, anybody who puts that much care into their punk name, obviously you can trust his opinion. So Necromangler, I feel you, man. I trust you.
But that's real cool, man. I appreciate you reaching out and saying you're enjoying the tape. It was a lot of work. We did have a lot of hurdles to get over, but we got over them, and the tape is now out there. So thank you, Necromangler. Now, as always, you can reach that podcast at punknews.org, and let's get on to the big news of the week. Someone give me a drum roll. The big news of the week is that Punk News has announced the Summer Soiree 2016 in Philadelphia on August 12th. Wait, did I say 2016? I meant 2017. The Summer Soiree.
Oh, we fucked everything up. Okay,
oh, that'd be great. This will be the second annual.
The second annual. Anyways, this is going to be awesome. We're throwing a really cool concert in Philadelphia. Bands playing include the amazing Pushing It to the Limit, include the amazing, amazing, amazing Great Live, Crazy in the Brains, include the awesome Posers, and the headliners are, I don't know how we pulled this off, but we're pulling it off, knock on wood so far, World Inferno Friendship Society is headlining the Punk News Summer Soiree. It's going to be August 12th. Tickets are on sale now, and this is going to be awesome. It's not only going to be awesome because all four bands are awesome and the lineup is stacked, but it's going to be a very special concert. And I'll say some of the things why it's going to be special. First of all, it's a smaller venue than World Inferno usually plays, so it's going to be an intimate, unique show, and I think fairly unique, fairly special to World Inferno for this show. I don't know if you'll be able to see World Inferno in this context again. Also, we're probably going to be playing live the Punk News trivia game that we've played on the podcast before, Punk's Points, and we also might do the Punk News dating game, Punk Connection, live in between acts. Also, we're going to be giving away goodie bags to everybody that comes. Also, we're going to have a cassette tape that's exclusive to the show that you can only get at this show. And also, I think that's it. Oh, also, we're going to have a charity raffle. Oh, and also, there are going to be other special things happening. Adam White is aware of some of them, but we won't reveal them yet. But this is not going to be a concert. It's going to be a soiree. It's going to be a party. It's going to be a unique thing that you probably have never seen before and you might not ever see again.
You have not mentioned the most special part of it.
That Adam White will be there.
That Adam White will be there. Yeah.
Well, I thought you were going to say midget wrestling. But if there's no midget wrestling, I guess you being there will be a good consolation prize, Adam.
I'm not that tall, so we can still...
We'll grease you up.
Adam White and I will be there, and we will be hosting the entire event. Tom Trauma might be there. Joe Plone might be there. Brian Yancey might be there. Chris Moran might be there. Sam Barrett might be there. A whole lot of the Punk News posse might be there. Adam and myself will be there. We'll be hosting the thing. It's going to be a real special evening. I am super excited. I've been trying to get this to happen for about 2.5 years. We finally got it to all line up. And you ask Adam White, I almost gave up on it. But I never really gave up, but I sort of gave up, but not in my core, I didn't. And this is going to be an amazing, special, unique thing, and I'm so excited for it. And honestly, if you live anywhere between New York and Baltimore or New York and D.C., you probably want to come to this because this will be amazing. I'm not bullshitting you. This is going to be awesome. You can get tickets at eventbrite.com, eventbrite.com, or you can just go to Punk News and find the thing, or go to Facebook and put in World Inferno Friendship Society Posers, and it'll come up. But this is going to be awesome. It's going to be great. I'm so excited for this. I wanted this to happen for so long. It's going to be a special, unique, weird evening, and this really is going to be something. I think it really will be something. Adam White, Tom, any comments on this or any ideas or anything? I mean, this should be cool.
Well, I sort of relish the idea of mixing in real life with the people I mix with in the digital format. So I think that would be fun. I mean, assuming I didn't get punched in the nose or shot or stabbed in the back or something. I think I know. I just think it's fun interacting with people. I think it's gonna be a great time. It gets my seal of approval whether I'm there or not. I hope I can make it, but either way, gets two thumbs up from this guy.
Well, thanks. I hope you're there too. That would be cool if you were there.
I'm interested in the fact that John, you have gone and tried to make this an event. You've tried to make this something unusual. So it's not just a show. It's in an art space. You got all kinds of wackiness going on. You are encouraging people to show up in suits.
Or costumes, any costume. Think of what's that show where like they would take things behind curtains. What was that show? Let's Make a Deal. Show up in any kind of costume or suit you want.
It's going to be like August 12th in Philadelphia, so it's going to be hot as balls. I think I will come as I don't know. I'll wear my romper.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, it would. I don't know. What about you, Adam? Rompers? I mean,
I've learned all about rompers.
I mean, I know Adam. I know you're a Paisan. You're just gonna wear like a black suit, black tie, just pretty much what you wear every day.
I have it under. I've been told
that it's a secret.
Not allowed to dress myself for this event.
Indeed,
and that I will be dressed by John Gentile.
Indeed.
I'm going to keep speculating until then.
Which
I'm going to say you're going as Derek Smalls, complete with cucumber wrapped in tinfoil stuffed in your pants.
Now, having said that, it sounds like just a horrible mistake.
Willy Wonka, isn't it? You're going to be Willy Wonka. I knew it.
The only thing that I have in my favor in this is that I will be many, many, many miles from wherever I have to show my face in real life. So, you know, I could just end up being some weird Philadelphia urban legend. I never have to go there again.
Well, the good thing is in this day and age, it's not like people have a quick, easy way to videotape everything and a system for putting it up so that they can share it with a large amount of people at any given time. So, yeah, you should be safe.
Nope.
Relatively anonymous.
Yeah. No one will know.
Well, anyways, I think this is going to be awesome. We'll reveal more details, I guess, in the upcoming weeks. But I think the most essential details are out there. That World Inferno post, just Crazy Braves push the limit of playing. But also, we're going to try to have some of the Punk News game shows. And also, it's going to be something more than just a concert. It's not going to be just a gig. It's going to be I know this sounds like generic marketing mumbo jumbo, but it really will be an all-inclusive experience, the likes of which you have not seen before. It's going to be awesome.
And there'll be nudes and
no nudes.
Oh,
all ages.
Don't
all
tell
ages.
Me whether or not I'm going to be nude.
Don't oppress me.
Exactly.
Well, anyways, people, I hope you all come. Like I said, if you live between DC and New York, you probably should come. If you like any of these bands, it will be worth your time. You can get tickets at eventbrite.com or just go to Punk News and you can find the link there. So I'm excited. We're going to talk about this more in the upcoming weeks. I'm going to try to have a camera there. We'll see if we can live stream some of it. I don't know if that's going to be a possibility. Probably not, honestly. But we're going to take some pictures, and it's going to be a party, and I'm excited.
I'm also excited, but I was yawning right there, and I couldn't stop yawning.
No, I'm excited too, but I keep muting my mic because my computer sounds like an airplane taking off.
Yeah,
so I can never respond like quick enough. I know I seem like I'm a little slow. But I'm excited.
We're excited, but it's also like 10 o'clock right now, and we're old people. Exactly. So,
well, listen, people, this is going to rock, and let's kick off the celebration of Punk News. And it is called the Punk News Summer Soiree for a reason. It really will be a soiree. It's not going to be just a gig. It's not going to be just a drink. It will be a soiree, a classy event. So let's kick it off. Let's kick off the Summer of Punk News.
I think he was just making fun of those of us who intend to somehow figure out a way to drink, Adam.
This will be called. This
I'm
is
already drinking. Yeah.
This
so
is a track
drinking.
This is a track by World Inferno called "Just the Best Party."
Yeah. hooked up with this girl and crashed it.
And we are back. Come to the Punk News Summer Soiree, August 12th in Philadelphia. We hope to see you there. That was World Inferno doing Just the Best Party. And here's another guy that canceled one of his longest running parties, Neil Young. He's canceling at least this year's Bridge School Benefit show, and he said he's not going to be involved in any of the Bridge School benefits going forward. He canceled the Bridge School benefit, he said, for personal reasons. In case you don't know, I've been to one of these, and they're pretty cool. Every year, Neil Young and his wife, Peggy Young, who is now his ex-wife, hosted the Bridge School benefit, where a bunch of very eclectic range of bands would come and do special sets. Usually they play acoustically, but they do weird sets, unusual sets, songs they don't usually do. Bands that have played the Bridge School include No Doubt, David Bowie, Green Day, Bob Dylan, Lou Reed, Bruce Springsteen, Elton John, Metallica, a famous Billy Idol performance, Brian Wilson, and literally dozens, Tegan and Sarah, and dozens of other bands, literally. The festival or the show, or however you want to phrase it, benefits special needs children. And I'm not exactly sure if the Bridge School is an actual school and it benefits that, or if the Bridge School is really just a donation resource, however you put it. What do you call when something it just raises money and doles it out? What do you call that? A charity fund, if you will. I'm not exactly sure if the Bridge Fund is that or not, but this is the first time in 30 years that Neil Young will not be doing the Bridge School, and says he's not going to be doing it in the future. A lot of people are speculating as to why he's canceling it. It is sad. But on the other hand, I was thinking, it's like, you know what, man? He's done it for 31 years. He missed 1 year in 1986, I think it was. That's more than almost anyone else has done. So you can't really blame the guy. I mean, he's definitely done his fair
and
share.
He's old.
Yeah, yeah.
He's probably tired and he's bitter and he got divorced. And the kid that he...
Is he bitter?
But the autistic kid, his son, you know, he had a son that was autistic. He's 30-something years old now. You know, not that there's not money needed for it, but... Guy's just tired. I would never give him a hard time about this personally.
I'll just say I went to the second best one. I think it was No Doubt, Sheryl Crow,
Adam
Sandler.
Where did you
Sandler.
See it, John?
Oh, it's always in Mountain View, California, south of San Francisco.
Okay.
It's always there.
Okay.
And it's a lot of fun. I saw the No Doubt, Neil Young, Sheryl Crow, Adam Sandler one. All those bands were cool. And honestly, No Doubt was amazing. Like, I couldn't get over how, like, No Doubt acoustic, no studio effects or anything. They just did about a 7 or 8 song set and they sounded amazing. And it was awesome. And the shows were great. So it's sad that it's gone. But, I mean, I don't know. What can you say? We can guess what his personal reasons are, but I don't know if that would be appropriate or not. And also, like, I went back and forth as whether or not I should mention that he just got divorced, because we don't know that's the reason he's canceling it, you know? It could be any number of other reasons, but it could be that too. Who knows, you know?
You're right, but it seems pretty easy to connect the dots, but yeah, you're right. It could be anything. He could just be tired. Who knows?
He's 71.
Who knows how Canadians
71 feels pretty.
Adam.
71's the new 30, right? So
shine some light on the Canadian mindset for us.
So the Canadian mindset of a rich guy lives in California. I don't know. I've learned that I'm not supposed to try to parse what Neil Young is thinking. I just have to respect that he's going to do whatever the fuck he wants, and that's kind of punk. But yeah, I have no special insight into this.
I thought you guys all knew each other. It's kind of a small country. I kind of figured you probably knew
personally. Yeah, it's a small country. Again, he lives on a big ranch in California. No, Is the benefit still going on, just no Neil, or is...
No benefit this year. No benefit this year. The Bridge School Foundation is run between Neil Young and Peggy Young, but now they're ex-husband, ex-wife, although the foundation still exists. This year's benefit is definitely canceled. Whether there will be one next year without Neil is unanswered. Most bets are no, but no one knows for sure. I always get mad when people like I know I've whined about this 100 million times, but people are like, Neil Young, what's he got to do with punk rock? The answer is a lot. You know what I mean? Like Neil, like people, like we'll play like Lars. We'll play Lars Stevenson or Chuck Reagan. People are like, oh yeah, man, I love when Chuck Reagan plays the acoustic guitar and sings about farmers. And then we put up Neil Young. So like, what, Neil Young? What's he got to do with punk rock? All he does is play acoustic guitars and sing about farmers. You know what I mean? It's like. Yeah. I hate how small-minded people are.
I guarantee Chuck Reagan and all those guys love the Harvest album. All of them. And his stuff he did with Crazy Horse was awesome. He really is the godfather of grunge. The sounds, he was the distortion on the guitar and the wailing solos. Man, I love Neil Young. I can't say I listened to him nearly as much as I used to, but I love him. Love the guy.
A lot of good records. A lot of good records.
Yeah. You so, go see right, him live, you never know what you're going to get, but that's different
story. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You can go see him live, and he'll do what, like, he'll come out, and you might be there because you want the hits or whatever, but he'll just, like, play his new record and then give you the finger and leave.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
Yeah,
except for the show purpose, but yeah.
I respect the guts to do that. I don't know if I want to be on the receiving end of it. Last time I saw him, he did kind of play the hits. He played the hit. Actually, last time I saw him was probably right after Living with War came out. So he had just released like a George W. Bush protest record. So it was a mix between him being mad at W and the hits. So that was fine. I didn't have a problem with that.
I only saw him once in the early 90s, and he was playing with not Crazy Horse, but Booker T and the MGs as his backup band. And it was cool, but yeah, I didn't play the real raunchy stuff that I like. Anyway, you were going to ask me something. Record?
Yeah, no, as I said, so like the you preferred records, like Russ Never Sleeps kind of thing? That.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love the Crazy Horse stuff. I mean, I don't mind his country folky stuff either. That like the whole Harvest album and what's the like the double album collection Decade, I think it's called, like of his early stuff, mm-hmm. just after Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young and all. It's great stuff, but I love the like Crazy Horse stuff where there's like six songs on a like CD length album and they're just wailing away and he's just standing in front of his amplifier like raising his guitar over his head just making waves of distortion. I don't know, I think it's pretty cool. Like I said, I don't listen to it nearly as much as I used to, but I do like it.
Trans, baby, trans is my jam.
Trans is so weird, but yes.
I haven't gotten into that one too much.
For me, on the Beach, On the Beach is an amazing record.
See, for like full album, oh man, I don't know. I love Ragged Glory, and I don't know.
But also, man, Russ Never Sleeps, baby. Yeah, Russ Never Sleeps.
And he did some of those.
Like Russ Never Sleeps, like I mean, from a punk rock standpoint, like Rest Never Sleeps was like what, like 76, 77. It was like direct, like there's reaction to the Sex Pistols on there. Like that was his reaction, right? That was a reaction to what was going on in like the burgeoning punk scene at the time. So that's, you know, that is quite a relevant one if you're approaching him from a.
Take that, Sonic Youth. A bitter old Canadian guy did it first.
Well, speaking of guys messing stuff up, the Spits, they're going on tour in this fall. I'll be there. It'll be a short tour. If you don't know the Spits are four guys. Sometimes they sing like robots. Sometimes they don't. And they really are maniacs. And I think the thing with the Spits is people think they're acting like maniacs, when I think the Spits actually are insane maniacs. I'm not sure. But they've got this thing. And I'll let Adam White react to it. And we'll see how Adam White wants to play it. In August, you can pay the Spits $1,600. Well, I mean, you can pay them $1,600 now.
But then is that how much it is? Holy cow.
In August, they'll pay for your ticket. You fly out to Michigan, and you just hang out with them in a cabin with them for a weekend. They say, we will fly you out to Michigan to Spits Appreciation Camp from any major city in the United States. where we rent two cottages on a gorgeous lake and listen to rock and drink beer all day. Then at night, listen to more rock and sit around a fire. Fishing, pontoon boat, and great jams. Beer and food included. No troublemakers. Adam White, is this a joke? Is this serious? Would you pay $1,600 to hang out with the Spits, or is that a dangerous proposition?
So the Spits, so from a musical standpoint, the Spits are amazing. The Spits are probably one of the better punk bands in the world, in my opinion. Specifically looking at someone from the standpoint of being like punk in the classic, you know, we're going to be weird and confrontational and, you know, contrary to expectations kind of sense. Right. I love the Spits. Spits are great. Now, in my mind, this is something that is so obviously amazing that I can't believe other bands don't do this all the time. Now, this being the Spits, there's the potential that you're going to have some sort of like cabin in the woods situation that comes out of it. But let's say this wasn't the Spits. Let's say this was a band that actually seems like guys that would be great to like sit around and drink beer and listen to rock and roll with. Like, let's say fucking like Pup or something had like a thing where like you can pay to go hang out in a cabin with Pup and drink beer and go on a boat and everything. All of those things would probably happen and it would be fine. The Spits, on the one hand, maybe they will, you know, not you take off the robot masks and everything and actually hang out with you and drink beer and all these things. Or maybe it becomes a weird art project and they take your skin. And I would not want to have paid $1,600 if they take my skin.
I think we're
making the Spits sound way weirder than they are.
They're pretty weird, Adam.
They're pretty weird. Well, they're probably not going to kill you.
I love that their idea of like hanging out with them is like the vacation you used to have with your grandparents up north, you know. But it's in Michigan. If they would like an embedded, if they would allow an embedded reporter, I would love to go Hunter S. Thompson style and spend the weekend with them and live to write a book about it or something. But I don't think I can spare the cash.
I don't know. I mean, it seems like a really fun idea, and I don't know why other bands haven't come up with that or anything like that. It seems sort of like an obvious thing because, like, that sounds like what I want to do, like in life. Like, I want to go to a cabin and listen to rock and roll and drink beer. Like band aside, like take the Spits out of it. That's totally what I want to do. I mean, put the Spits in, and I love the Spits.
I mean, that's why we're working so hard right now, so we can live like that when we retire, right? Basically?
Yeah.
Go up north and sit in a boat and fish and drink beer.
I mean, like, if you were to give me the choice between doing most things and doing exactly how John described this trip, I would want the trip. So, you know, I could probably swing it for less than $1,600, but hey. What do you know? But yeah, that's John. Are you going to do this?
No, for multiple reasons. Fire back question. You think this is a joke, but it's a joke, but well, if you're serious, then they're serious. You think that's what this is?
Yeah. It's like our,
our podcast tape.
Our podcast mixtape, right?
It's like our summer soiree, a total sham. Oh, sorry. Did I say that out loud?
If no one buys it, then it's a joke. But if someone buys it, hey, we get to go to a cabin and drink beer.
If someone buys it, honestly, then we have $1,600.
I mean, I would imagine more of the risk in this is on the Spits because those guys, I would assume that they have esoteric enough tastes that they know how they want to go party for the weekend. And it would be weird for them if the person that ends up paying the money to do this was like some weirdo or a total drag or whatever.
Yeah, what if they're like, I think drinking's immoral,
part of the reason it's so expensive is probably to weed a lot of weirdos out, don't you think?
I wouldn't pay this, but for a weekend hangout, I actually think it's semi-reasonable because, I mean, a hotel alone, $100, $150 a night, and that's for a crappy hotel.
Yeah.
So you're looking at $300, right? Airplane ticket, that's $600. So you're up to $900.
Oh, are they flying you in too?
I believe the way it's worded, it includes
from any major city in the U.S.
Oh, that sucks because I'm close enough to drive. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I go up north with my family like a week during the year, and we stay in a cabin, and we just have bad phone coverage, and we hang out as a family, and it's great fun. I don't know if I'd want to do it with four rubber mask wearing weirdos, but I prefer to be the weirdest one up there.
I was going to say it's kind of pathetic to pay people to hang out with you, but that's kind of what the summer's for, right?
But there's well, I was going to say, and there is a band.
That's what every rock show is.
Every one of us here, there is a band or a person that we would be willing to pay that for. And I don't know, I don't really have a name in my head right now, but there's a, you know, if the Surviving Ramones did it or something, you know what I mean? There's somebody that I would pay that to go hang out with.
Hey, listen, do you think adult rock camp is pretty cheesy? I think it's pretty cheesy. Like when you're like 55 and you go like jam with like...
Yeah, it's totally cheesy. If you can really play, start your own band again.
Yeah, I think it's like, oh, I played bass with the guy from... I played bass with the bassist from Aerosmith. Yeah.
Well, and and they get some big names because, let's face it, not all these guys took care of their money. So that's true. Like, you know... I don't know. I looked at like the baseball ones. I think those look super fun, but it's the same thing. It's like, oh, it's like I'm playing with some retired Tigers and, you know, I still suck, but they're going to lob it in there so I can hit a double, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's like playing pretend, but you're like an adult. You know what I mean?
Pretty much. But that's, you know, if you got the excess cash, that's what, life is fantasy if you can afford it, ultimately. And I can't. So that's why I play baseball with like 12-year-olds.
Tom, did you just come up with that quote right now? Life is fantasy if you can afford it. Did you just come up with that?
Well, no, it is. The rich people, you know, if you got money, you can do whatever you want, dude. You can live. I mean, I did. Yes. I didn't steal it, if that's what you're asking.
That's pretty profound.
But if it's good, profound. I'm trademarking it right now. Trademark.
Well, it's
right up there with Thrashgasm. I made that one a few episodes back.
Well, listen, speaking of sexual innuendos and fantasy, GWAR, they've announced a new album. It's called The Blood of Gods. This is an extremely significant album for GWAR, although no press places except us pointed this out, and it really baffled me as to why they didn't. This will be the first new GWAR album without founding member, Soul Constant member, and singer Odorous Urungus. The new album has Blothar as the singer, and it looks like Pushless Maximus, the new-ish guitarist, is kind of the leader of GWAR these days. Tom, I'm trying to stay positive, man, and I'm trying to give GWAR the benefit of the doubt, and Dave Brocky always said that when I get too old to do GWAR, I want GWAR to continue. So I said, well, okay, well, I'll always be a fan because Dave wants it to continue. But I'm having a tough time with this, Tom. I really am.
Well,
I'm having a tough time with GWAR.
You know, they are kind of a collective.
They are. It's not just
you're right,
Dave Brocky.
Dave Brocky was the only one. I think they can. But, you know, I think you and I are actually disagree on this. But I never really thought their studio albums were all that good. Even in their classic era. I just thought it was always kind of, you know, they're all about the live show. And I enjoy the live show. I can't even tell you how many times I've seen them. Probably at least a dozen. At least. But their records never did anything for me. And like I said, I know we disagree on this point. So
we disagree on that point.
But yeah, they just like I said, I don't wait around with bated breath for the new GWAR album.
But if
they come to town, they got two or three good openers. I'm there. Count on it.
Are you having a tough time without Odorous? Like, or do you just not care?
I've seen him twice. No, maybe three times without Odorous now. And I got to say, the last time was sort of sad. Like, you can tell the crowds are really seem to be dropping off. And,
oh, really?
And the show, they always have an overlap. You know, there's always a storyline they follow. But at the first time I saw him after Odorous, I thought the storyline of trying to find Odorous and all that, I thought it was pretty cool, and I actually didn't mind it. But this last time, it was all built around, like, the internet, and they had this big fake-looking iPad on stage. It was bad, dude. I mean, it was really, really uninspired. So they really kind of have to do something if they want to. I mean, it can keep, as long as it's good, they can keep going. But if it sucks, they might as well pack it up. But they're doing Warped this year too, so they're going to get in front of a lot of young people. So I suspect that's the thinking with going on that tour.
I think a lot of people might not even make the connection that like Odorous was a central component. Like, and it might just be like GWAR as a brand, you know, and like, oh, GWAR, you know what I mean?
I think that's probably what what it is to a lot of people, where like, oh, look, there it's Gwar. They're dressed up like monsters and shooting blood out of something.
Well, we don't know what went on behind the scenes as far as leadership, you know?
I think I pieced together a pretty good idea. I don't know for sure, but
Go ahead,
Adam.
Sorry, dude, I cut you off. Return to your thought about Gwar.
Adam?
Oh, sorry, hold on. All this Gwar clogged my internet up, I guess. I was going down a weird rabbit hole of looking at Gwar pictures.
You had to take a second to pull on your rubber mask.
Oh, there was a lot of udders or penises or whatever I was just looking at. I don't have any opinion on this in particular because I'm not the Gwar expert here. But
you know, it's funny, John, they're playing Gwar. I was just thinking about it. You know, that's like predominantly like a 14-year-old audience. They'd be doing all their puerile humor. It's parents might really be learn some interesting things.
I wonder if they'll have obscenity charges filed against them again.
I don't know.
Well, anyway, somebody play a song and we'll come back.
All right, here, I'll jump in. So I just got back from the Ottawa explosion. I saw about a million bands. I'm going to be talking about them on all the various things I talk about things on. And lots of them were fun and cool. And here's just one at random that I thought was really fun. So I saw a bunch of bands play in the front lobby of a record store called Vertigo Records that's in Ottawa. This is a band from Sudbury, Ontario, called Tommy and the Commies. And it is a cool old school power pop punk rock song called Suckin' in Your Twenties. So here you go. This is Tommy and the Commies from Sudbury, Suckin' in Your Twenties.
And that was Tommy and the Commies, and a purely Adam White style band. Speaking of another band that Adam White is a big fan of, Gene Simmons of Kiss. He's at it again. He's attempting to trademark the Devil Horns hand sign, although notably, Gene Simmons' hand includes the two middle fingers folded down, but the thumb out, which I think is a Hawaiian symbol as well, as opposed to the Dio symbol, which has the thumb tucked in. But the Gene Simmons hand symbol is also the American Sign Language symbol for I love you. And so Gene has filed to trademark the hand gesture for in the entertainment category, namely live musical performances. That's one of the categories upon which you can file for trademark registration. The trademark has not been granted, and actually the USPTO has not even issued an office action. Adam White, is Gene Simmons really trying to get this trademark, or is this just Gene being Gene again? And also, is this perhaps a bad faith use of public funds for him to do one of these wacky stunts and rely on public funds to sort this all out?
I want to say that on the one hand, this is probably Gene doing it for attention. No one seems to talk about Kiss all that much these days, and he seems like the kind of guy that wants attention, right? Like Gene now has to live in a Donald Trump world, in which someone who is a loud blowhard is getting everyone's attention all the time, and if you're a loud blowhard, it must sting. So I imagine that there's some he's just scratching. He's like, what do I do? You know, like how do I
reclaim the throne as America's biggest asshole?
What do I do? I mean, he's not. But the other thing is that like Gene Simmons is nothing if not pragmatic. So he's going to look and say, okay, I'm Gene Simmons. I'm a successful businessman. I'm arguably a more successful businessman than Donald Trump in that I'm not going to, you know, end up in jail for sedition or anything. So he's saying, what do I?
And he's never filed for bankruptcy, Gene Simmons.
Yeah, right. So there you go. So he's running on his original clip.
And he paints his face, which is sweet. And wears
also like, he's got that cool tongue, like all good businessmen.
High heel boots.
I mean, he's got a lot going for him. So he's like, so how do I get back in the news, right? And a good way to get back in the news is to threaten to do something dumb that has no consequence. Is a soft story, so it will get talked about by places like punknews.org, but has no like tangible end game, because I can't imagine. And John, I mean, I don't exactly know how the legal system works, but is there like some sort of provision where the legal system will look at someone trying to do something and says just like, I refuse to entertain this because it seems like a colossal waste of time?
Is that a thing? Well, I mean, that's not one thing for all legal my loser venues, if you will.
There's however, not like a gong show component to the courts where like you come in and you're like, I want to trademark the devil horns, and someone just goes like blam, and then you have to leave.
Drag.
Yeah.
Oh, how I wish there was, but there's not. There's not.
Well, okay, so but there's probably some legalese that leans in that direction, right?
Well, so, I mean, in civil court, certainly in civil court, you would do what's called a demurrer or 12b6, which basically says you're trying to sue me for something that you can't sue me for. Get out of here. And the judge is okay. In the trademark realm, which is not a civil suit, it's filing for a trademark. But basically, the USPTO says you do not have a basis to file for trademark on this. Therefore, you don't get a trademark, or what you're filing for is ineligible for trademark protection, something like that. That's what would happen here.
So. What is he trying to protect? From a practical trademark standpoint. Is he trying to protect the gesture from being used in? Because if I recall correctly, when you file for trademark protection for something, you have to list like the intended uses of it, right? And there's categories that you would like list the uses of it. You see this from time to time in like. This is going to be a really dorky thing, but like you see this from time to time in entertainment news when like they'll say that like, oh, like Marvel Comics is probably going to make a movie about Captain Marvel because they've just filed the Captain Marvel trademark that applies to, and there's like a list of product categories like lunch boxes, you know, mouse pads, television remotes, and there's this like weird de facto list of everything that clearly they had to like go through a list and like check off all the things that they could possibly release a product
not exactly. Trademark is actually a little ambiguous, and a lot of people don't understand that. There's two main issues. I mean, do you guys want to hear about this, or you don't want to hear about this?
I'm curious, like what actionable steps. So if Gene Simmons was granted
goal,
this,
is his goal that every time somebody makes that hand sign, he gets paid? That's what I was thinking.
There's two main issues involved here. First, you can't trademark a hand. You can only trademark something that has a consistent image. You can only file for trademark for an image that does not that has no variation. So therefore, he would have to trademark like an image or something like that, or a hand symbol and like in the exact same way, which that would be tough to do. Like you can trademark a color used with an item, or you can trademark a sound or a scent even, but it has to be used consistently. So it has to be shown in the same way throughout all the realms in which he's trying to protect it, which is that's his first hurdle. Second hurdle, when you apply for trademark, you have to state the category upon what you're applying your basis on. And you can only do that if that is currently in commerce or you plan to put it in commerce for that thing. For example, the Rolling Stones. The Rolling Stones would file for musical performance. They'd file for T-shirts and clothes because of the Rolling Stones shirt. They'd file for TV videos. They'd file for sound recordings, that kind of a thing. The Rolling Stones would not like file trademark for medical processes or something like that. The point being is, let's say, and I think this is going to be rejected because, namely, it's the American Sign Language symbol for "I love you." So I don't think you can trademark "I love you," if you will, you know. But let's say this is granted by some weird reason. That doesn't mean no one can use that symbol. It only means that if someone else using that symbol is likely to generate confusion to source of origin, then it would be a violation of trademarks, a trademark law or Gene Simmons' right. Best example is the following. Apple Computers owns the name Apple for computers, but they don't own the name Apple for all uses. Like if you came out with like Apple brand tacos, Apple Computers probably could not stop you. If you came out with Apple brand video games, Apple Computers probably could stop you because when the court determines if something violates trademark, they look at an 8-factor test, which is generally called the Kodak test. One of or the most important two of the most important factors is that is there a similarity between the marks and is there a similarity between the ways in which they're used, the category of products. So Gene Simmons is basically trying to get the devil hand symbol for musical performances. So what he's trying to do is block other people from doing the devil hand sword live on stage, which I don't think he can get for a numerous reason. Another reason is he's not the only guy that's done it, and other people have done it before the 70s, and they've continued to do it since before the 70s. So I don't think he gets it. I think he's just being an asshole. Does that answer your question, Adam?
Yeah. I mean, it all comes back to just Gene Simmons is looking to be an asshole.
Pretty somehow. Much. Any publicity is good publicity, and he's a fame whore.
And it just goes to show how weak Kiss really is. Their music is like, if you want to do something interesting, why don't you put out some kick ass music or a kick ass video? But even Kiss themselves are a ripoff. They're a ripoff of Alice Cooper. You know what I mean? Like Kiss sucks.
I'm not anti Kiss as a rule.
I am,
but I am anti Gene Simmons. He is a douche.
Well, listen, speaking of a guy that never had to lower himself to stupid theatrics just to get attention, Lemmy. He's come out with a video game, even though he's passed away. There's going to be a Motorhead video game, and it looks like it's an add-on for a game called Victor Vran. I've never even – apparently it's a very big video game, but I've never even heard of this. Adam or Tom, have you heard of the Victor Vran video game?
Nope.
I have not. I'm not a gamer, though. I'm the wrong guy to ask.
Apparently Ricky Frank was like a huge fan of this game or something, Tricky Ricky. So anyways
– millennials.
If you watch the video, it actually looks pretty badass. You basically look like you're Lemmy, and if anyone remembers the game Gauntlet, it's basically Gauntlet with Lemmy, and you just like run around a dungeon killing monsters as Lemmy, and honestly looks pretty badass. And I guess the point here, and Tom or Adam, is how come when Gene Simmons comes out with a dumb product, it's like you know, the Kiss coffin, the Kiss bowling ball, it's stupid and cheesy, but when we have Lemmy running around lighting skeletons on fire with his magical guitar, how come that's awesome? What's the difference?
It's because Motorhead doesn't suck.
That's true.
And it's not like you could even say – you can't even say, well, Kiss puts her name on everything. Motorhead doesn't. Lemmy would put his name on everything. He had a brand of scented candles and a vibrator and a chastity belt. And I mean, there was Motorhead everything. But I just think – I'm not a gamer, like I said. I don't know anything about this game. But if I were going to want to pretend to be somebody, I think pretending to be Lemmy is probably the best person you could pretend to be. So – if you must game, kids, be Lemmy. I hope they get his wart right on the pixels.
This game looks pretty cool.
See, every time, and this is me being old, is like anytime I ever see some game, that's my first reaction is that, oh, that looks pretty cool. But then I know that if I started to play it, I would play it for like 2 minutes and then all of a sudden realize, oh, so in this game, you have to do this thing 600,000 times. And then I would not do that anymore and go on with my life. That's my condemnation of the whole game universe. Every time, I don't know. It's like at some point, like the magic disappeared for me, and then I'll go and I'll play something, and I'll be like, "Oh, okay." So the mechanic here is that like you have to jump on this platform, and then you get a point, and then that's what you do. So you have to do that. So like, wow, the house needs cleaning, and then I walk away.
Well, you get farther than I do, Adam.
I mean, that's all speculation because I don't actually have anything on which these games would be played. This is me more like extrapolating based on anytime someone's been like, oh, there's an iPhone game thing people should go look at. Although then we're going to get gamers writing us being like, you're not trying on the proper platform to understand the experience. I don't care. Don't send me game shit, people.
But if you do, send him Lemmy game shit.
So Adam, though, answer the question: how come it's cool when Lemmy does this stuff, but when Gene Simmons does it, it's lame?
We just explain that because Motorhead was a good band, and
Gene Simmons is just annoying in general.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a degree to it too, where like, do you feel that like you look at Motorhead doing a lot of this stuff, and it almost seems that like you get the feel that oh, Motorhead's doing this like for a laugh, right? Where that's not the truth, because of course they're doing it to make money, but there's something to say about like the image that they created and were able to maintain, that we can all go look at like the Motorhead vibrator or whatever and just go like, ah, yeah, that's Motorhead. That's what they do, right? So they make crazy shit and they stick their name on it, but that's fine because you know. Ace of Spades is a badass song, so hey, right? So we do that because they have goodwill. Kiss, you know, if Kiss released the Kiss vibrator, I think everyone would be like, ugh.
It's just shaped like it's like a 12-inch long tongue with texture on the tip of it, as opposed to the Motorhead vibrator, where the head of it looked like the cover of the Orgasmatron train.
Wow. Okay.
Thank you for visualizing that.
Well, listen.
And it sounded like this.
Wrapping up our Gene Simmons trifecta, let's talk about the guy that Gene Simmons ripped off and has done little since then, Alice Cooper. He's going on a UK tour and he's releasing a new album. The new album is called Paranormal. However, the special part of the new album is it will include two tracks with the surviving members of the original Alice Cooper band, which existed from roughly 1967 to 1974, I believe. The original Alice Cooper band, of course, recorded Schools Out, Billion Dollars Babies, Killers. I feel like we've been talking about Alice Cooper a lot lately on the Punk News podcast.
Love it to death, Muscle Love.
Love it to death, Muscle Love. And I think the only reason why we talk about them is because I love Alice Cooper and the band. I think they're great.
We definitely see eye to eye on this one, John.
And the original band are going on a very short UK tour. I hope they come do a at least short USA tour, in which case I'll probably go. Guys, I'm pretty excited. Alice Cooper solo albums are very hit or miss. None of them rise to the greatness of the original group, except for maybe his first one, Welcome to My Nightmare. Everyone after that is some good, some bad, you know. But the original Alice Cooper group reunited for two live tracks last year, and they were great. I'm excited for this. I'm definitely buying this album. And actually, the album comes with a bonus disc, including the entire live performance from that garage show with the original Alice Cooper group. So this is cool. I don't know if there's anything that deep to say about this, except for I'm excited. It's awesome that the original Alice Cooper band is doing stuff. Going to have to go on tour. Also on the album includes U2's Larry Mullen, which, well, whatever, and ZZ Top's Billy Gibbons and Deep Purple's Roger Glover. I don't know if Adam or Tom or Tom or Adam, if you have anything to say about this.
My question for this is, I wonder why they're doing this in the UK. Is there more money to be made in the UK? You know, like a lot of American bands will go to Japan because they can make more money. But I would never thought that would be the case with, you know, I just wonder why they're doing it there. And I also wonder, one of the guitar players is dead. I wonder who's filling in on the second guitar.
I think it's one of his guys. He has a young lady called like Oranfi or something that he hangs out with. And there's a guy called like, what's that?
He's got, one of his guitar players is a woman.
Yeah, yeah. And there's also a guy called like Chuck Garrett, I think. I think that's the other guy.
I don't know who his band is. Sure. Anyway, I would love to see that. You and I have talked about this. The Alice Cooper band is unbelievable. That being said, they are old now.
So they are old.
I don't know. I'd like to see some footage or hear some stuff.
They sound good. They sound
yeah. Should... I can't imagine the last new release Alice Cooper album I bought. I'm sure it's been a couple decades, but I might have to break the mold. I think the last one I bought new was like trash. I think it came out in 90 or something.
Oh wow, he's put out like 12 albums since then.
Yeah, none good.
He's put out some okay stuff, like Welcome to My Nightmare.
No, that was terrible.
It wasn't that bad.
All right, we're going to have to part ways again. But anyway, no, I'm definitely cool to check this out.
The covers album was really good. Hollywood Vampires, that album was great.
Okay, actually. You know what? I wanted to check that out, but I didn't get to it.
That's real good. Adam White, welcome to Alice Cooper Talk.
That's all right. I'm
now.
I'm down a really interesting Wikipedia hole over here. So
now you know how John feels when we talk about beer, Adam.
That's true. Adam, you like Alice Cooper at all, or you don't care?
I have no particular Alice Cooper reaction in that I know you guys like him, so I don't want to say anything disparaging. My thought of Alice Cooper, were I not aware that people were genuine fans of his work, is that he was just some old shock rock cartoon character person. But that's just because I never bothered to
in the 80s and 90s. You could say that. I think he's sort of bounced back, I think.
So yeah. So in all of the time when I've been alive, he was
well, recently he's been, like I say, he's been on the upswing. But I challenge you to listen to like Killer. Probably Killer would be where I would start.
Killer is the place to start. It's got the rockers, but it's got the weird tracks.
Listen to it on headphones. The stuff that they were doing literally 45 years ago, 47 years ago, whatever it was so good, man. I kind of didn't really appreciate it until I got a little older. They were such good musicians. It was so theatrical. So much stuff going on in the music. I mean, they were just a great, great band. Like John said, the solo stuff, there's some cool stuff, but not whole albums. But those first four of the first six albums are like must have.
There's Pretty's For You, Easy Action, Killer, Billion Dollar Baby, School Down, Billion Dollar Babies.
You gotta have
there's
Killer,
seven albums.
Killer, what? Billion Dollar Babies, Love It to Death, and School's Out are all must have. That's my personal opinion. Mm. The first six, those four, the first seven, or whatever.
Yeah. I love
and they're all
the first
like
seven.
Super savers. I mean, they're all easy to get. You can get like they're like $5 Amazon CDs, or you can find an old copy on vinyl.
Adam, you should listen to Killer. It's a great album.
All right, I will do this.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyways,
now,
what else?
Now play a song.
I did. Tom,
play a song.
Was it my turn?
Yeah.
I hope this summer soiree is a bit better organized than the
now
podcast.
Now that I'm like, I want to play like an Alice Cooper song.
Then do it, man.
What should I play from? Just be like Steven. Let's do, I don't know. I don't have the album in front of me. I can't think of the songs. Okay, I'm going to do a Michigan band instead. Maybe next time I'll do Alice Cooper. I'm going to do a Michigan hardcore band from down in Coldwater, Michigan, a kind of a small town on the border of Michigan and Indiana, and they I'm sorry also.
That was Siri talking.
I heard that. And the name of the band is No/Breaks, No Breaks. And this song is called Buzzkill, and it kicks butt. We'll be right back.
And that was No Breaks doing Buzzkill. And Adam White, anything else you want to talk about on tonight's podcast? Anything else you want to mention? Anything else we should cover? I feel like Adam White, I feel like this wasn't a big Adam White episode. I feel like it was a lot of Tom and John talking. And I'm sorry for that. I should have been more inclusive instead of exclusive.
No,
we talked about Neil Young.
We did, John. That's true. I mean, and yeah, Smith.
And good. We talked about beer. Those are like the two most Canadian things there is.
There are, and I mean, I'm kind of sleepy.
We could have talked about flannel shirts for 10 minutes, but I think we did our part.
Eh, fair enough. I retract then. Adam, you got exactly what you deserved.
I got everything that I need, really. I don't know. If anyone wants to email us, you can do that at podcast@punknews.org. Thanks to Mr. Greg Simpson for being the person that produces this thing. So
eventbrite.com, go to the Punk News Summer Soiree, August 12th, Philadelphia. Eventbrite.com. Eventbrite.com.
You're promoting Eventbrite way more than you're promoting
Punk News Summer Soiree, August 12th, 2017.
If you want to list your event, go to eventbrite.com. It's easy.
You're gonna have to spell soiree. It's one of those fancy French words.
This has been a Velour Underground production. I am Greg Simpson, producer of this podcast. Hit me up if you want me to mix, master, or produce your podcast, even from afar. Or, you got a band you want to come record with me in scenic Lafayette, Indiana? Let's do it. Hit me up at greg@velourundergroundstudios.com.